Are the urgent needs of life inadvertently distracting you from what is truly important? Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. You know, there's an old saying, when you're up to your waist in alligators, it's hard to remember that your original objective was to drain the swamp. In other words, no matter how hard we work at focusing on what is important, there are times when the urgent needs of life just get in the way. Well, in today's program, Kenneth will help us refocus our attention on the one thing that is needed.
Hello, everyone, and it's great to have you join us for the second part of our series on the one thing. You remember I mentioned that there are four places in the New Testament that talk about the principle of the one thing. It's not four things, but four aspects of the principle of the one thing. And we've considered the first one called One Thing I Know from John's Gospel, chapter 9. Where we read about the story of the man who was born blind and who was healed by Jesus. One thing I know. For this second part, we are going into another gospel, the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to look in Luke chapter 10, where we read of this next occurrence of the one thing. And it is the one thing I need. In Luke chapter 10, we read about the story of the visit of Jesus to the house of two sisters called Mary and Martha. This is in the last section of chapter 10 of Luke's Gospel. It's just a couple of verses, so I can read it through to you so that you can have the whole story in context. Verse 38, now it happened as they went, that is Jesus and his disciples, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her, therefore, to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, Martha and Mary were sisters. I guess Martha was probably the elder one, because usually it's the elder of the siblings who is more responsible and who tend to fuss around. But they were of quite different temperaments. Martha was the active doer type, while Mary would be the more contemplative or the thinker type. Now, naturally, I tend to be more of the Mary type. But we need both Marthas and Marys in the church so that there is a complementarity of temperaments to get tasks done. But that is not our subject today. I think this is more than just a study of contrasts between natural temperaments. This episode brings out the critical importance of choosing the one thing needful or the one thing needed when we are faced with apparent alternatives. First, let's consider the good part, because we come across that phrase in the last verse 42. This was how Jesus complimented Mary. One thing is needed or needful. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. In verse 39, we read of Mary's actions and disposition. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Well, that's what we all need to do sometimes, you know, to just stop running around feverishly and just sit down and listen to what the Lord has to say to us. Instead of being overrun by too much of our own constant, incessant talk and thoughts. And Jesus commended Mary in the verse that we have read, verse 42. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. We are often drowned by many other needs, all crying out for attention and action. And yet, what Mary did is something we really need to do first, even at the expense of everything else. Like Mary, we need to make a deliberate choice to sit at Jesus' feet and to attend to his words. Because it says Mary has chosen that good part. It was a conscious, deliberate decision. She did not just slip into it. And sometimes this may even require some drastic action on our part, so that we do not inadvertently let the urgent things rob us of more important things. We do not let the urgent things displace the more needful and important things. The term good part, which will not be taken away from us, must refer to things which have an eternal value. They're here to stay. They do not just come to pass. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 19 through to 21, this is what Jesus taught his disciples, part of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So we have to actively and intentionally make the choice all the time for the one thing needed. Every day we come across all kinds of things. There are some things that come and go. They are passing. They come to pass. And we must learn to let them go if necessary. They are discretionary and they are dispensable. But other things may be critical. They are significant. They are indispensable. And if we had eyes to see, we can make this amazing distinction between what is discretionary and what is potentially revolutionary. So therefore, the exhortation is to choose that good or the better part. Don't choose the rotten or the lesser part. And this may not have anything to do with super spiritual stuff. It can be down to something as simple as, in this case, as the sitting down to listen to God's word, as Mary did by sitting at Jesus' feet and attending to his words. I guess this speaks directly to our daily devotional times. We need to intersperse our praying and Bible reading with pauses for reflecting and for receiving in silence. Don't just go through the motion of having a quiet time, because this is where real spiritual conviction and spiritual formation takes place in personal experience. And this is something that nobody can gainsay or take away. So choose the better part as Mary did, to sit at Jesus' feet and to hear him. The question is not, have you done your quiet time, but what have you heard from the Lord Jesus? So we have considered the good part. Let me move on to a second phrase in our passage. It's called distracted with serving. We read about that in verse 40 about Martha. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now let's be very clear here. It's not serving in itself which is wrong, but being obsessed with serving or being distracted by it. So serving in itself is a good, right, and necessary thing. There is a time to sit down and listen, and there is a time to serve and to get up and start doing. What does distracted mean? To be distracted means that she was doing something, but it was the wrong thing for that time. It means she was going somewhere, but it's the wrong place, because it takes you away from the key thing. That's what distraction does to you. So Martha was distracted, and thus she complained to the Lord to tell Mary to help her, because this was the most important thing on her radar screen. Serving was the most important thing to her, and everyone else and everything else must serve this purpose. In verse 41, Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried, and you are troubled about many things." When we start getting worried and troubled by many things, that's a sure sign we're getting distracted and we get dissipated in our serving. You know, we can be doing the wrong things or lesser things, and we can be so taken up and absorbed with urgent things that we are prevented from dealing with the vital and the most important thing. If I may borrow the title of Shakespeare's play, this is what we're really doing. We are much ado about nothing. We can tragically be doing much, but actually accomplishing little. So don't make the mistake of thinking that movement is necessarily progress. Don't confuse or mistake motion for progress. For example, I can be reading a lot, many books, but actually absorbing or taking in or learning very little. Or apply that to thinking. Thinking too much to no purpose is really nothing more than what I call a mental window shopping. That's indulging in armchair philosophy, which doesn't get us very far. Now, here's a very practical illustration, which is exactly the same as the context we have read in the story of Mary and Martha. Whenever you are entertaining or hosting guests in your house, you can get caught up with fussing around about food to the degree that you neglect fellowship, spending time talking with your guests and making them feel at home, which is really the objective, which is more important. Food is important for sure, but it's there to just facilitate the fellowship. Your guests will remember the food if it's good, but they are likely to remember more the fellowship that they had with you, especially if that has been warm. So it's the same message that Jesus had for Martha. The meeting was there for the purpose of listening to Jesus. The food comes later. It's not the main course, which is feeding on the Word of God. Here is an interesting anecdote that I read from a biography of A.W. Tozer, who was a great preacher and writer, who was well known for his incisive preaching and writing. He was once in a conference, but he was so immersed in prayer at the conference grounds that he completely lost sight of time, and he did not appear for his preaching appointment. And I guess they had to somehow find a way to get around doing without him for that session. But when asked later, his explanation was simply and unapologetically that he had a more important appointment to keep. Now that may sound humorous, but it shows the great difference that priorities make to our actions. Preaching was certainly important to him because he was a preacher, but prayer and communion with God was more important. Here is another anecdote from that same biography to illustrate this critical difference. This involved a relatively unknown Irish lay preacher that he told about, and his name was Tom Harry. In fact, he had a nickname. He was also called the Praying Plumber because he was a plumber by trade, just as the Apostle Paul was a tent maker. I find it very interesting to see that both of them, like all great men of God, held prayer to be a major priority in their lives, no matter what they were doing. Now this man, Tom Harry, the praying plumber, when it dawned on him while he was on a preaching tour in the United States that he needed to first get his priorities right before he went on preaching as before, said this to himself. He said, "I intend to cancel all appointments for the next 6 months and spend that time preparing for the judgment seat of Christ while I can still do something about it." You see, when he realized the one thing needed of him by the Lord at that stage of his life, he did not even allow a good and honorable thing as preaching to stand in his way. So friends, be careful that you do not unwittingly allow the good to stand in the way of the best that God may have for you. Be constantly open to what He may want you to do at this point of your life. What I find extremely interesting is to note that Mary is always found at the feet of Jesus in all the three gospel accounts where we encounter Mary. For example, in this passage in Luke chapter 10, in verse 39, we read that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. That speaks of her attention to the Lord. And secondly, in John's Gospel, chapter 11, in verse 32, we read that Mary fell down at Jesus' feet. This happened at the death of Lazarus, her brother, and when Jesus raised him up again from the dead. In that account of her falling down at Jesus' feet, we see an admission of the Lordship of Christ. And then thirdly, in John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 3, we read of Mary anointing the feet of Jesus, and that speaks of her adoration of the Lord. That was the needed place to be in, and Mary was always there. She paid attention to the Lord, she gave admission of His Lordship, and she gave adoration to Him. To be at someone's feet means you learn and are trained by that person. For example, Paul described himself as being brought up at the feet of the rabbi teacher Gamaliel in Acts chapter 22, verse 3. So to sit at Jesus' feet and to hear Him means to learn from Him. And Jesus commended Mary exactly for that, while He corrected Martha for being distracted with many things. Have you noticed the contrast between the many things that Martha was worried and troubled about in verse 41? Against the one thing needed in verse 42, which was spoken of Mary. Many things versus one thing. Are we divided? Are we focused in our lives? The word for distracted there really means to be pulled or dragged away. I wonder if you have ever experienced trying to reach someone, to talk to him about something, and in the process, someone else cut in or interrupted your conversation so that you were distracted and you never got round to speaking to the person you originally intended. That's what it means to be distracted. And busyness can be a problem if it is compulsive. We can be busy, but we are not blessed. As Jesus said to his disciples at one point, the poor you will always have with you, but may not always have me with you. So in the same way, we can say that there will always be work around to be done. But the question is to do the needful thing at the right time. This is not a question of either sitting down or standing up and serving. But what is the necessary thing to be done at that time? I'm sure the Lord was not encouraging people to just sit around while others do the work. The question is, what do we do? And the answer in this instance is to sit and listen. The flesh in us and the world around us often cries, "Don't just sit there, do something." And at this particular point in time, the right and necessary thing to do is to sit down and to listen. There is a time to sit, and there is a time to serve. We prepare as a host for the meal before the guests arrive. We don't get overboard in all our preparations because there's only so much you can do. Otherwise, we get frazzled and frustrated through overexertion. And then there is a time to serve during the meal. But when the guest, especially if it's the guest of honor, stands up to address us, we accord honor and respect by sitting down to quieten our hearts and to listen when he speaks. And if necessary, we just need to leave some things undone for the time being so that the necessary thing can be done at this point. And I'm sure this speaks tremendously of the great need for us to spend time at Jesus' feet daily in our morning watch, or what we often call the quiet time, to sit at the feet of Jesus to worship as well as to listen to his word before going on to our work for the day. This is the great importance of worship undergirding our work. We need to feed on the word of God so that we are able in turn to feed others. So friends, what about you? You may have been doing a great deal that seems good and necessary, but perhaps have become somewhat of a burden and a distraction. That good thing you are busily pursuing may in fact be diverting you from the higher good that God intends for you. In the pursuit of excellence, it is often said that the good is the enemy of the best. So take time to come aside with God to review where you are and to renew what you have been doing, whether or not you have lost the original focus. Renew your original purpose by knowing what is truly needed of you by the Lord at this time. I trust you have been refreshed by the Lord's presence and reached by his word.
Mary chose for herself the one thing that is needed, the good part. Martha was distracted with much serving. And Jesus commends Mary, and he corrects Martha by essentially saying there's a time to serve and there's a time to sit. There will always be urgent things vying for our attention, but one thing is needed, that we, like Mary, choose the good part. Thank you, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Well, tomorrow, Kenneth Wong continues his focus on one thing. Join us then for part three of One Thing I Lack. In the meantime, we would love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can contact us. You can send us a text message to 94313813 or an email to info@timesofrefreshing.asia or send snail mail to Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915714. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia. www.mcdanielphillips.asia for more information. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.